Did you know you could sponsor Nerd and Tie? That's right, for just $20, we'd say something nice about you here. We'd compliment your hair. We'd take a good look at those shoes and tell you that we think they look great. Or not. I don't know. Whatever we'd come up with, you would like at just $20, or you can contribute to our legal fund by going to GoFundMe.com/NerdandTie and helping us out that way. On this episode of Nerd and Tie, we are just talking about one thing, and that one thing's pretty big. And that is, you know, Vic Mignogna and all the stuff that has been happening there. And, you know, isn't that enough? It's really enough. All that plus the Vomit Head Steve Challenge, a little twinge of mailbag, and a whole lot of us really just kind of being depressed about the state of the universe. But, you know, it's fun. This is your February episode of Nerd and Tie.
Oh, boy.
Bye.
Welcome to Nerd and Tie, the only podcast on the internet with a dress code. I am one of your hosts, Trey Dorn. Joining me, as always, is the effervescent Nick Izumi.
Hello!
And the inquisitive Gen Proc.
Sup?
Been a while since we were together on the microphone. Trying out this new update schedule of, you know, once a month. Feels like forever.
Indeed.
See, it's so forever that our rhythms are all off, and we'll give you a little bit of seconds and pauses between talking. So, the world's not been uneventful since we last talked to you.
Yeah, no kidding.
And while, you know, a lot of things have happened, you know, that are positive, like, Into the Spider-Verse winning Best Animated Film and
the
Oscars.
I had no faith and I was wrong.
And, Black Panther didn't win the big award, but it won some awards, and that's great. There's the convention world, which is where most of us live and spend our days, was a little bit rocked.
Oh, yeah.
But not in a surprising way, and we'll get to that.
More in a surprising it took this long sort of way.
Yeah, a bunch of reports about voice actor Vic Mignogna finally surfaced as people finally started to go onto the record about stuff the guy's done over the past how many decades.
Mm-hmm.
Vic Mignogna, for those of you who are not familiar with the anime world, because I know that we have multiple kinds of fandoms who listen to this show. Vic Mignogna is a voice actor who has been done a lot of notable works, including, you know, Edward Elric in Full Metal Alchemist, in that dub. And so he's a rather prolific voice actor. He also has been in a bunch of Star Trek fan films.
Including the critically beloved Star Trek Continues.
And the critically hated Star Trek Renegades. Although in Star Trek Renegades, you do get to see him die. you do get to see him die graphically in Star Trek Renegades. So there's something going for it there. Yeah. But a lot of people have talked about... So hard to say. So Vic Mignogna has kind of notoriously had a reputation over the last decade amongst convention staffers, and most of us have known, but now finally people are coming out and going on the record that he and the man's currently, you know, 56. But he will grab people, touch people without their consent, proposition women, try to kiss them without their consent. Women who are, and often under 18 too, in some cases. And he also has a reputation for being, frankly, historically at least, homophobic. And, like, Io9 has a great article over on Gizmodo where they actually talked to a bunch of voice actors who worked with him. And while most of them didn't want their names associated with it, did confirm to Io9 that, like other guests at cons, like, also were felt uncomfortable with him. And then, like, his inappropriate behavior with other people in the industry has apparently been well known for a long time. And here's the... Yeah.
I was going to say, several actors who have worked with him have had rather nasty things to say, and it used to just be something that happened behind closed doors when they would be willing to actually talk about it. And then more recently, in the last couple of... the last month or so, Monica Rial, Jamie Murky, and even Neil Kaplan have had just awful stories about how they've dealt with him.
Yeah, yeah. And it's... and yeah.
Oh, and of course, Amanda Wynne Lee also came forward, who... doesn't really do anime anymore, but was once well known as the original voice of Rei Ayanami in Evangelion, and Yukiko Amagi in Persona 4. So, yeah. It's very strange that Mignogna's, like, bad behavior is only just now recently coming out. At least I find it strange.
Yeah.
Because he is... It seemed like it was just common knowledge at most cons that I went to that the guy was kind of a creep and to stay away from him.
Yeah, it's, well, so this is the frustrating thing, is it's obviously Nerd and Tie here. We've reported on people who we believe to be predatory before, but usually it's the problem is that we need, like, whenever we write about something, like, or talk about something on the podcast, we need some degree of proof, right? We need some people to
right.
come forward, go on the record, because, you know, as even when we have, even when we have the best sources and even when we can prove everything we say in some cases, obviously litigation can happen. And so, you know, if we don't have that evidence, if we can't, you know, we can't write anything about it. And it's frustrating because, like, I've known about Vic Mignogna as an issue in the convention scene for over a decade. It's like, but I didn't have a lot of, like, like, back then, I didn't have a lot of firsthand stories. An acquaintance of mine did have, like, a moment where, like, Mignogna said something homophobic in front of him, and this person is gay, and, like, that was the only firsthand account I had heard throughout the whole time. But I'd heard a lot of secondhand accounts, and a lot of people who had worked at cons near him who had, like, retelling other people's stories. And so, like, I don't know. So I work for No Brand Con as a convention, and every year someone suggests Vic Mignogna as, like, a guest suggestion, and we've mm-hmm. purposely avoided him. Like, it's, we've gone, like, we tell them, you know, it's, we would tell people, look, we'll consider everyone, but obviously we're a smaller convention on a budget. And then meanwhile, throw Vic Mignogna's name in the garbage because he had a reputation in the convention scene, and while we couldn't prove it and we weren't going to say anything publicly about it, he was gross. And and it just blew my mind that I will tell you, even after these stories came out, we had someone come to my convention social media and ask that we try to get Vic Mignogna now that he would be so available. Because since these reports have come out, a lot of conventions have canceled on him. Like, his fans, there are some of his fans who, because of these gross stories coming forward and conventions canceling on him, asked if we would bring him.
That's insane. I believe
it,
but that's insane.
It's nuts! Like, and the frustrating thing, and I just want to touch on this, is that, like, Monica Rial's gotten harassed by Vic Mignogna's fans.
Basically every actor who's come forward has gotten harassed. Yeah, Rial has gotten the brunt of the hit. Amanda Wynn Lee has gotten it, Jamie Murky has gotten some, even Neil frickin' Kaplan has gotten some, and a lot of the people who are harassing, I'm curious how many of them are long-term Mignogna fans and how many of them are Gamergate types, because it seems like there's a lot of overlap right now.
Yeah,
where there didn't used to be either.
Yeah,
I'm wondering how many of the fans still defending him have like met him.
That's an interesting thing too, because I'm noticing, I'm seeing people, especially on like the Twitter sphere, coming out of the woodwork to suddenly defend Vic Mignogna, but none of these are the kind of people who post pictures from their cosplay accounts or pictures from cons they've been to.
It's like they only know him because of his work and the characters, and like, don't get me wrong, I love Full Metal Alchemist. I love the character Ed Elric. But I hate Vic Mignogna.
I'm glad I watched it subtitled.
Like,
let's say, you got to enjoy the soothing tones of Romy Pacu, one of the best actresses in the industry.
Like, I've met the dude. He's creepy AF. Like, so it just, and it's easy to idolize people when don't meet them. It's the whole don't never meet your heroes thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so that makes me wonder if a lot of these people who are defending him are just like, no, we love the work he's done. We've never actually met him in real life. Like, we don't have firsthand accounts of how creepy he is. Whereas a lot of the rest of us who are long-term convention goers have probably at least seen him at a convention and be like, ew.
I think the worst part is that for a lot of the people online right now, though, it's not that they haven't heard the firsthand accounts. It's that they are dismissing the firsthand accounts as a rule. That's the scary
annoying part. Yeah, annoying and scary, for sure. This whole idea of, if I pretend that it's not real, then it's not real. It's not true. If I can't see it, it's not real.
Like, it's scary. I've seen people coming forward with claims as outrageous as, we're stepping up to defend a man who's been wrongfully accused. It's
ridiculous. I mean, as Io9 reported, in their really good write-up on this, and I'm about to link it in the show notes, that, apparently in a, when Vic Mignogna was in a booth with a few others to record audio last year for a video game, Mignogna asked the client who was overseeing the session if she was okay with his performance. And when she didn't answer right away, he followed it up with, you know, the old Latin, or is it Greek? There's an axiom that says silence gives consent. Those are words that came out of this man's mouth.
That is creepy.
And when you couple that, like, you just apparently using phrases like that with a constant touching of female fans without asking.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, like we had, there's the touching of fans without asking. That's creepy. The people in the industry, it's the same story. Neil Kaplan, who, again, I'm sorry I keep bringing these names up. You might remember him as Zarkon in the Voltron remake. Was at a panel with Mignogna. It was his first time meeting the guy. And Mignogna not only showed up late, but decided to jump onto Kaplan's shoulders without his consent. And Kaplan felt like he was humping the back of his head, which was uncomfortable and embarrassing, to say the least. He included video of the convention on his Twitter. Murky, another actress who worked at Funimation, has claimed that Mignogna grabbed her by her hair and whispered sexual things to her. That's...
Well, there's this thing about, like,
yeah,
even with fans, of grabbing them by the hair and to kiss them. It's like, it's creepy stuff. I mean, like...
And his defenses for himself haven't made the situation any better.
Of course not.
Like, he's made claims to the effect of, well, I've met a lot of fans that wanted that kind of treatment, so I assumed they all did. Which is not great.
No.
Not great at all, actually. I should have pulled up that interview before coming out of the show. I apologize, but yeah.
So, like, another voice actor in that IO9 article who chose not to be identified, said a couple things. Like, in 2008, they had adjacent hotel room doors, and Mignogna grabbed her in a tight embrace and wouldn't let go, even as she tried to pull away. And he knew that this actress was in a relationship. And then she then went into her own room, which shared a door with his, and that's when the knocking started. And she told IO9, "I heard a slow knocking on the door that was between her two rooms. I knew it was him, so I ignored it. And just after 2 minutes, the whole hotel room phone rings. I answer, it was Vic. And I remember he said, 'Open the door, nobody has to know.'" She said he continued to knock on the door, and the phone rang again. And then she had another incident with him a couple years later, where she'd agreed to stop by his room briefly. She said he invited her to sit down on the couch in front of the room of the suite, and after a brief conversation, she claims he knelt in front of her and began rubbing the backs of her thighs and said, "Let me be sweet to you," to her. And apparently the voice actress got up to leave, only for Mignogna to stand up, embrace her tightly, press his face against hers. She tried to get out of his embrace, but says he wouldn't loosen his hold. She kept giving him reasons why he should stop, like reminding him that he had a girlfriend, but he kept repeating the same line, "Let me be sweet to you," over and over again, at least 5 or 6 times, she said. The voice actress says she eventually got out of his embrace and left the hotel room, and later told the con's guest services manager about the incident. And the con staffer confirmed IO9 that she did tell him this.
Yeah,
like, Mignogna acknowledged this event happened, including that he rubbed the backs of her thighs, but said the encounter was consensual.
Which gets us to the other thing that's really awful about this whole situation, being that so many con staffers have also been aware of this, and it seems like there has been no middle ground. It has been either the con shadow bans Vic Mignogna, i.e. they just do what you described, Trey, where no one talks about it, but
yeah,
they don't do it. Or there are the ones who know it's happening, but just look the other way.
Well, I think Anime Matsuri still has them booked. Shocker.
Because he brings in people, and they're more worried about their numbers and the money they make than they are about that.
Well, didn't we run a harassment story about Anime Matsuri staffers?
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, like, there's no surprise with them.
Yeah.
Like, it's... there's a whole Boycott Anime Matsuri group that still links to our old coverage of that.
That's kind of amazing. But, yeah. It's just been fascinating seeing that it has been this long for any of this to happen. And maybe it was just because Vic was a big name again, what with the new Dragon Ball movie. But it's depressing that it took this long. And it's, and as someone who was wary of it, I'm kind of depressed I didn't come out to say something sooner myself. Because it's just...
And I think this is the biggest problem. Is that, so it's this missing stare issue. And there are plenty of missing stares in this convention scene, and there have been for a long time. And, like, some of them we've tried to talk about them whenever we could. But often you just find yourself being quiet, like, as at least in our situation, as a website that, you know, does podcasts and news coverage, like, we have to be really conservative about what we report on. But, like, take this situation with Vic Mignogna. Like, we've known for 10 years, but, like, MyCon has shadow banned him for a long time. Like, we've never had him as we've never had him as a guest, but enough staffers, like, have heard the stories, or in the case of some former staffers have experienced the stories, that we knew not to do it. But here's the thing, is that it's his behavior was so rampant in the community, but nobody talks about it. The people who it happens to don't talk about it. Like, the image that we're using as the thumbnail for this on our website, is a photo of our very own Gen Proc.
Yep.
9 years ago. Getting
until we got to this nugget.
Getting non-consensually hugged by Vic Mignogna.
So the whole story with that. Oh boy. So that was at Anime Milwaukee 9 years ago when I was at the university. I want to say that was like my first Anime Milwaukee, so it must have been like 3.5 back when they were doing halves. And so I'm the type of person who, if I know my friend loves this thing, I will get it for them. You know, I'm a very gifty person.
Mm-hmm. Can confirm.
And one of my bestest friends at the time loved Ouran High School Host Club. And they especially loved the character that Vic voiced in that. So I was like, oh, he'll be at this convention I'll be at. That would be great. So what I did is I drew a picture of the character. And I'm like, great. I drew this picture. I'll get him to sign it, and I'll give it to my friend as the best birthday gift. So I went in to the autograph line with my drawing, and it was great because I showed it to him, and his first thought was, oh, is this for me? And I was just like, no, it's for my friend. Could you sign it anyways? And he got so bummed out. He was so upset that my drawing wasn't for him. And it just made me laugh. I was so happy by that. I was, because, like, even back then, like, just, like, seeing the way that he presented himself in, like, the manner of his clothing, his personality type, you just completely, like, rubbed me the wrong way. It's just like, you're just like the kind of person that I don't like. I can't handle you. I can't stand you. Ugh. Like, no thanks. So when he went in for the hug, I was just like, I guess, let me out. Let me go. Let me go. So, yeah.
Well, and if you look at that picture, your arms are straight down.
Yep, at the very bottom of the picture, you can kind of, because my sleeves are rolled up, you can see a little bit of white from my pasty arm. And my face is just like, I'm smiling because it's a photo, but I don't want this.
Jeez.
But that was 9 years ago. How old are you?
20.
And he was like 47?
Uh-huh.
Like.
So I think it might have even been that same Anime Milwaukee was my only run-in with Vic Mignogna. And I did not have anything nearly so striking. But I did have this, not really a secret. I've always been a big Fullmetal Alchemist fan. People who are active in the Wisconsin con scene, or at least were active like a decade ago, now I feel old again.
Yeah, we're old.
Might remember that I did a lot of Edward Elric costumes when I was younger. Like, it was one of my go-to characters.
You had the hair for it.
I did. I had very, very long hair. Yeah, like you guys, Ed is still one of my favorite characters. I was really excited about the opportunity to meet Vic Mignogna. Two of my close friends at the time were also very excited about this opportunity. And they went, they got autographs. They were very jazzed. When I saw one of Vic's panels, I was not nearly as impressed. He was, same vibe that Gen is talking about. He presented himself in a really self-important way. And the thing I remember that rubbed me wrong was that there was a room full of people. The line was almost out the door for autographs. And the panel was running late. And like the guest wrangler actually told Mignogna, hey, this next hour is supposed to be just for giving autographs. And instead of starting the autograph line, which again, I cannot emphasize enough, was very long, Mignogna's like, well, we're still going to do that, but right now I want to show off my knowledge of Star Trek trivia, and spent a half hour trying to get the audience to stump him with Star Trek trivia.
That's not the good audience for Star Trek.
Right?
I loved Full Metal Alchemist, and I probably know more Star Trek trivia than the average Joe. I know a lot about Star Trek. I'm looking at multiple copies of multiple technical manuals, and literally with my eyes right now. I've even got some non-canon Shane Johnson books.
Trey, I remind you, I've brought it up before, but I'll bring it up again. One time we literally broke the internet because we were too nerdy about the different craft from Star Trek.
I mean,
like, recording broke
because
we out-nerded the Skype recorder.
Yeah. So, but to dial it back like that, the AnimeCon crowd is not, those people are not the primary, like, their primary fandom is the anime. That's why they're there.
Also, like, judging by the age of most of the people who were in that audience, like, keep in mind, so it was the same year as Gen, I was, like, 20, 21-ish?
Yeah.
I was on the older side of people in that room.
Yeah.
I want to put it, and he was specifically asking for trivia about classic Star Trek so that he could prove how good he was as a Star Trek, as a good Star Trek brain man.
Yeah.
Or, you know, he's whatever.
Terrible. But, you know, it's actually, to get back to a point I said before, like, this is a story, you know, like the stuff that happened with Gen getting hugged. Like, that happened 9 years ago, right?
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know when the first time I ever heard that story was, even though I've known Gen this entire time? This week.
I'd say a couple days ago.
Because what happens is that, like, the problem with the entire concept, like, the missing stair, you know, the metaphor comes from, you know, like, that there's a flight of stairs with the stair missing, and that everyone just tells everyone that there's a missing stair, right? And no one fixes it. Except, and so all the people who are experienced there avoid it and are fine, but a newcomer comes in, and they don't know about the missing stair, and they fall through. The problem is that just because you think you've told everyone doesn't mean you have. And these things don't, when we just whisper to each other that the missing stair is there, nothing gets fixed and not everyone gets informed. And so it's like, like I hadn't heard any firsthand stories about his physical misconduct. I had heard a firsthand story about him making a homophobic remark at what I believe to be the same Anime Milwaukee, because I was there. I just didn't go to a Vic Mignogna panel. Why would I go to a Vic Mignogna panel?
That was most of what I had heard up to that point, was just he makes homophobic comments, which, yeah.
But I had heard stories about him being creepy. Like, I had... So, I don't want to, like, add too much detail, because, again, these are, like... I had heard stories about... young female attendees being invited up to his room. I had heard stories, like, but I had never heard beyond that. Like, it was never, like, I hadn't heard about him specifically doing anything to anyone, but it's just that people who had worked at cons where he was, it was a creepy vibe. The, you know, the way he would invite young women up to his room. And so it's a, no one had any evidence, but we all had the general idea that something creepy was going on. You know what I mean? Like, we couldn't prove that anything non-consensual was happening, but we all just kind of felt like it was a, like, you get that alarm bell in the back of your head, like, this is a bad situation. This is a creepy situation. And, like, but you can't do anything with that besides just not invite him to your con for those of us who, you know, don't witness anything. And so that's why, like, I know that this sucks. This sucks big time, because it requires that people who experience these bad things tell other people, but it's like...
And therefore, they have to, like, revisit those memories. Like, I had honestly forgotten.
Yeah.
I had completely put it out of my mind, be like, oh, yeah, like, that dude's a creeper, like, oh, here's my Vic Mignogna glomped me story.
Yeah.
Until it started, like, resurfacing, and I'm just like, oh, wait a second.
Yeah. And then to add insult to injury, you've got these dude bros on the internet who, you know, get upset anytime this stuff gets brought up with, you know, why didn't they talk about it sooner? This, that, the other. I'm sorry, I'm really frustrated by this far-right anime demographic, which has been really coming to Vic Mignogna's defense lately.
Yeah,
that's a
maybe
thing.
They didn't bring it up earlier because it brings back really bad, traumatizing memories for them.
Well,
like,
and it draws out
for...
dude bros like them.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, maybe they don't want to speak out. Like, there's so many reasons. There's so many, like, valid, legit reasons not to. Until you see other people coming out, and then you feel like a little safer seeing, like, oh, so other people have gone through what I've gone through with this person. I need to add my story, you know.
Yeah, it's, I mean, so the problem is, so, like, we know, everyone on this discussion knows there are other missing stairs in the community. And we can't, like, I can think of people who I worked with who I won't work with again. I can think of people who I've never worked with who I definitely won't ever work with. But we can't, the problem is that, like, you can't, unless you've witnessed firsthand stuff yourself, it's a hard thing to actually talk about. And especially, like, so the problem is, so Vic Mignogna has been, had this reputation for over a decade, right? Like, we're all talking about shit that happened 9 years ago. And it's like, literally, like, your story is from 9 years ago. Well, all of our stories are kind of from 9 years ago now, right?
Yeah.
And it's because all of us stopped being anywhere near him once we, you know, discovered, right? Yep. But the problem is that, like, so I could, like, as a con staffer, it's not like the convention that I work for could ever come out and say, like, when people ask for Vic Mignogna, no, we don't want his creepy ass anywhere near our convention or our con goers because we think that it's not safe. We can't say that because he's a powerful voice in the community. He has this massive fan base. Like, I have to look, you know, when I'm doing closing ceremonies and someone says, hey, could you guys bring Vic Mignogna next year? And I'm looking at some, you know, teenage girl, like, and I've got to go, no. Like, in my head, I want to scream. Like, this guy is bad news, but I can't tell you he's bad news. It's frustrating. True. And, like, we know that these people are out there, and we can shadow ban them from our conventions, and we can, like, we can say that, no, this person can't come. There are, like, at No Brand Con, there is a vendor who I'm not going to name, but is banned from our event because he sexually harassed some of our staff. Like, it's...
Yeesh.
Like, and... I don't think he knows he's shadow banned because when he applies to our con, we just send him a waitlist email and then he never gets in. Because it's, what do you do? Like, it's, you don't want to, like, and that's just a vendor. You know what I mean? Like, that's just a vendor. And we can talk to other con staffers. We know about the behavior that caused this, but we can't. Like, it gets really complicated to do anything more. And I think that we need... And this is a voice actor. This is a guest at cons with Vic Mignogna. Like, it's... well, I'm sure there are other guests that have behaved inappropriately at conventions. Vic's the first name that ever comes up into anyone's head when it comes to be, like... Like, this is how commonly this is known amongst a lot of con staffers. Like, but the fact is that no one can publicly say anything because he's in such a position of power with the fandom. You know, he's always been in such a position where, like, frankly, I don't think that if voice actors hadn't come forward as well, like, I think if it had only been fans and con staffers talking about this, if voice actors themselves hadn't come forward, I think that we still wouldn't be talking about Vic Mignogna.
I agree.
I hate that you're right, but you're right.
And, like, it's such a frustrating thing because we know that these people are out there in the community and we can't say stuff because we can't prove it. You know what I mean? We can't, you know, unless an arrest record happens or, like, we can't go on the record and say that stuff's happened because we can't prove it. And it just sucks. Like, the anime community, the convention community needs more transparency. It needs, like, issues like this need to be shown to daylight. But the problem is that the people who are victimized by it end up getting targeted by these assholes, these alt-right jackasses, these anime Nazis end up going after them. And it's, like, it's dangerous for victims to come forward, but the problem is if victims don't come forward, we don't get to talk, the larger community doesn't know that these people are there. It's this annoying catch-22 that, like, if you expose a predator, you become a target. But if we don't expose the predator, there's a predator. You know? It's dangerous to do it, and it's dangerous not to do it. And we end up in these situations. So, like, I will never blame a victim of any sort of, I will never blame a victim of sexual harassment, assault, or anything like that for not coming forward. I will not blame them for it, because the fact is that they're effectively re-endangering and being re-victimized when they do come forward. But on the other hand, if they don't ever, there's not much that anyone else can do. And it sucks. Like, I'm just happy we're at the point where people can start coming forward. You know what I mean? Like, the fact that...
No, I completely agree.
That these voice actors and these congoers and these con staffers are actually coming forward and talking. And, like, these cosplayers and, like, are just, like, actually, like, feeling brave enough to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just... It's so frustrating that we live in an environment where it was dangerous for them to do so in the first place.
Completely agreed. Maybe this is expanding it out to too big an idea or a scope, but going back to the creepy alt-right types, I've already seen some people trying to, make a case for, now it's time for us to do Anime Gate, and I'm just, the idea of that makes my stomach turn. Like, I don't even know what that would entail, other than, you know, more harassing women, so I guess I do know what it would entail.
Yeah.
It's so, that whole thing, again, not to get too far off base, but that whole thing has just been mesmerizing for me through looking at, like, anime Twitter and general at the anime social media sphere, just how outright creepy far-right conservative so much of that community is. Because, like, at cons, you don't get that impression.
Well,
but, like, on the internet, you absolutely do.
I think it's because the people who go to, the people who are more likely to be this radicalized alt-right are the people who are less likely to go to conventions in the first place.
Yeah, I can see that.
Because I think a lot of what has to do, like, a large part of radicalization is isolation from the other, right? Like,
right.
It is this separation. It's easier to otherize someone if you never interact with them.
Mm.
And so the people who go to conventions, well, I'm sure there are alt-right assholes who go to conventions, right? Like, it's, we've got
to... Yeah, I'm completely certain of that.
Like, the fact is that, like, No Brand Con has had to write, like, the convention I work for, we've adopted language about Nazi iconography. And actually, I wrote it up in I wrote up on Nerd and Tie, and so a couple of cons have adopted the exact language that I wrote, because I put that up as a suggested policy for banning Nazi iconography, because we are now live in a world where we have to could overtly ban Nazi iconography. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So, it's just...
It's just frustrating and scary. And it's also depressing that these kind of people are going to try to turn Vic Mignogna into a martyr for their cause. You know, the...
Yeah.
This infamously just... This person with an amazingly awful reputation, and they're going to put him up on a pedestal, because of course they are.
Yeah.
Gosh, dang it.
It does suck really bad, but it does feel nice that in this particular case, it does feel like a tiny bit of justice is being served.
Yeah,
that's true.
Funimation.
Yeah, we didn't get into that. Yeah, Funimation seems to have cut ties with Mignogna.
Same with Rooster Teeth. He has been removed from the regular cast of Ruby. I decided to look it up before we did the episode. Apparently, he kept making his Star Trek show even after those new rules about fan films
really
went through. Yeah. Like, the Star Trek Continues last episode was from... Let's see, I left this... Oh, crud. Sorry, I navigated away from the page for a second. Okay, yeah, Star Trek Continues last episode was from November of 2017. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, he kept trucking along with his crowdfunded Star Trek show for 11 episodes. And when did those rules go into effect? It was still while I was living with my parents. I know that
yeah,
much.
I'd have to look it up.
But yeah. Yep. With Mignogna as the main story, like... credited with story or script on almost every episode. Yeesh.
Wow. So there are. So I have confirmed that the Nerd and Tie official written anti-Nazi language that was written for a Nerd and Tie article that has been adopted by No Brand Con, obviously, since that's the convention I also work for, Sphinx Con, Capricorn, and Orca Con.
Excellent.
Yeah. That's just a fun note. That.
Okay, yeah, Prelude to Axanar came out in 2014. Sorry, I'm just... so confused as to how he got away with continuing to make those Star Trek episodes.
Well, the Axanar lawsuit, so the one was the, you know what, I've got our website up. I think we covered this back when we were doing the regular news articles. So let's find out. I'm going to The lawsuit was in 2015. The fan film guidelines came out in 2016.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Axanar settlement was in January 2017. Yeah, so January 2017 is effectively when those fan film rules were locked down. And he kept releasing Star Trek Continues?
Yeah. If this is to be believed, Star Trek Continues' final episode was a two-parter. Part one was in October of 2017, and part two was in November of 2017.
Well, then.
Mm-hmm.
Were they only 15 minutes long?
I'm not seeing that on here. Now, granted, it doesn't have as in-depth coverage of the last half of the season. I'm just looking at Wikipedia. But it doesn't have as much coverage of the latter half of the season. But it's saying that the average episode length is 55 minutes.
Yeah, he totally violated the fan film guidelines.
Yeah, oh, okay, yep, pulled it up. Yep, to boldly go, the last episode, part one, is 46 minutes, so, yeah.
Yeah, he totally violated the fan film guidelines. Oh, God, it's so gross that he cast himself as Kirk.
Cast himself as Kirk? The main cast are, like, Funimation regulars.
No, but think about his behavior.
Yeah.
It's not what canon Kirk was like, but it's what fanon. He thinks he's fanon Kirk.
I was about to say, yeah, I was about to. I literally just rewatched Balance of Terror on my birthday, mostly because it's my favorite episode, and I wanted to rewatch a good Star Trek episode. And as I was watching it, I leaned over to my wife, and I'm like, I forgot what a great character James T. Kirk actually is.
Oh, yeah, no. Real Kirk is great.
Actual Kirk is an amazing character.
Yeah.
But good old Vic Mignogna, he thinks he's the real life Fannin Kirk.
Oh, God. Well, at least, you know, so this is why I think now you get a great litmus test for which conventions are run by creepy people and which ones are run by people who at least don't want to be seen as creepy people. Mm-hmm. As again, almost every convention has canceled his appearances except Anime Matsuri. Which I believe now all you have to say about Anime Matsuri is, well, they didn't cancel Vic Mignogna. And that tells you everything you need to know.
I'm fairly certain I've seen, like, people try to, like, ask about that to Anime Matsuri, and they just give some, BS answer.
I don't know if John Lay is still involved with Anime Matsuri, but he's one of their co-founders. And we reported on, like, a couple years ago about a lot of reports about him harassing people. Mm-hmm. And there were accusations about that then. I don't know if he's still heavily involved in the convention or not, but if he is, it would mean I would not be remotely shocked.
Mm-hmm.
That a guy who has been repeatedly accused of harassment has stood by another guy being accused of harassment.
Yeah. What a... Wow.
Like, that's the thing. It's like... It's so easy not to do any of the shit that this guy's done. Like, I don't... That's where it's, like, mind-boggling to me. It's like... I've spent, 20 years working conventions, and I've somehow never harassed anyone in those 20 years, you know?
It's like, amazing, isn't it?
It's crazy.
Amazing how easy it is not to kiss strangers. Wow.
Not to, like, touch them when they don't want to be touched.
Right? Don't touch other people without their consent? Who would have thought? Like,
oh,
it's super easy. Like, that's the whole thing. I'm like, and don't get me wrong. There are a myriad of issues of guests being touched by attendees that are whole other category of thing. But the difference is...
Call back to an earlier episode, please don't bite Norman Reedus.
Yeah. But, like, the thing is that, like, in the case of those guests is that, like, handlers step in. Like, when a guest does the inappropriate touching, the power dynamic is so different. Like, it's mm-hmm. they're both bad, but one's worse.
Yep. Honestly.
It's like you shouldn't kick someone in the shins, but that's not the same as stabbing them in the arm.
Because, like, I know how, like, as a convention, you want to be nice to your guests. You want to please them so that they have a good experience and they possibly come back sometime. But, like, there's got to be a limit.
Well, and it's also, though, it's the problem is that when you have a famous person like Vic Mignogna, who is it, the average person may not think of him as famous, but out of people who go to anime conventions, he's famous. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like, if you attend anime conventions, everybody knows who he is. Mm-hmm. And there is an intimidation factor for a lot of people, especially a lot of younger people, when they, because, like, you work cons long enough and people who are famous and important stop feeling as impressive to you because you've just spent enough time around them and realize that they're people. But for an attendee, like, it's an intimidating experience.
Unless they're
experience.
Greg Weissman and you make a stuttering jerk of yourself and you're just embarrassed and you just want him to sign your stupid picture of Robin and let you go. Oh, sorry. That got a little personal.
Yeah, it's. I mean, obviously, there are people who are going to always, but the fact is that the average person, when they're faced with someone who they idolize or who they're a huge fan of and it's a famous person, they're going to be dumbstruck, they're going to be nervous, and they're going to be intimidated. So when that person violates any sort of thing with with that fan is going to be too scared to say anything or try to laugh it off and try to, like, repress any sort of sense of violation because they don't want to, A, you know, invoke the wrath of whatever they're afraid of, and B, it ruins their own, like, it's, there's a, like, it ruins their own image of that person, and C, it, like, because it's a person you idolized, it's, people blame themselves more so than they would normally. You know what I mean?
No, it makes perfect sense. And I hate that it makes sense.
Yeah. And that's, like, it just, it sucks. It sucks. And we've spent 55 minutes talking about Vic Mignogna.
I think people get the idea. I think we've said our piece.
Yes. So Vic is gross, and now we can officially say that gross. Vic is gross without having to just allude to Vic being gross. Even if I've got some bozo showing up on my con social media asking us to bring in Vic now that he's been revealed as his gross because he'll be an easier get. Oh, my God.
That is...
Oh, my worst, God.
That's the worst take. That is...
Oh, my God. Worst. Like, we've been not bringing him for these reasons in secret. Don't ask us to bring him now. Oof. All right. We should move on. Technically, we have a mailbag, and I'm going to read it real quick. Because Sean Orange of Famicom Dojo put in all the work to send it to us.
Indeed. What a guy.
As Sean wrote, subject, The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina. Message, you had me at Michelle Gomez. That is all. That is all he wrote.
Damn right we did.
That is so, yes. Yes.
Damn right.
Yes, Sean. Michelle Gomez is great. And that moves us on to our final segment of the episode, which is the Vomit Hat Steve Challenge. The Vomit Hat Steve Challenge is the curiously named section of the episode where I read a line from a random book, and the challenge to you, the listeners, is to guess what book I am reading from. And we've been reading from the same book for a while, and someone guessed it, though. And so we'll have a new name to add to the Hall of Awesome. And so the benefits of the Hall of Awesome are as follows. So if you guess the book correctly, we put your name on our website. We say your name aloud every episode of the podcast. And no third thing, but I feel the need to say a third thing every time. The third thing this time is I'll let you follow me on Tumblr. So the current members of the Hall, the book I had been reading for a while, which I will now reveal to you, was, as I pull it out here, as I want to get the title exactly correct, it is William Shakespeare's Star Wars by Ian Dosher, subtitled Verily A New Hope. And I've been reading that for a while.
It's been so hard keeping my mouth shut on that one.
And
not gonna lie.
But I hope I'm saying your name right, dude. But Joel Kreisman wrote in the correct answer, and it's he gets added to the Hall of Awesome when this episode goes live, and Joel Kreisman is joining the likes of. Arkhamite, Zero, Rainy and Senti, Cheesy McDammy, Krista, Slithery D, Shameless Otaku, The Random Ramblings Band, Corfan, Capito, Chris Graham, Lily Source, Paper Godzilla, Cavsey, The Minnesota Librarian, Sean Orange, Keith Shuzu, and Sakura Sunset. So
what
Joel,
a group.
Yeah. And that meant I had to go to my bookshelf and pull out another book, which I have here. And it's literally just a random book I grabbed. And I'm going to open up to a random page. Which helps if it's got words on it. Let's see here. I want to find one. I don't want to find anything too. I don't want to give you guys something easy on the first reading. Jesus Christ, there's so many proper nouns on this page. Let's go to another one. Well, you know. All right, so here's your line. we're going to go hard because it's the first episode with this book. The retreat was not at a run. It was a forced march, not a rout, as sometimes portrayed. If you know a book that's from, go to nerdandtie.com, click on the contact form, and tell us. Or if you have anything else you'd like us to hear, say, read, or do, like Sean deciding to give us a one-line message, go there and fill that out, too. Or you can also choose to send us a voicemail by dialing 414-375-0480. And we will happily play your voice on the air as long as you're not, like, shouting obscenities or anything. So, yeah, that is that.
And as always, keep on Spockin' in the free world.
And before we actually get to that, normally we say who
Sorry,
we were.
Sorry, I got really
it's like,
excited.
You got really excited there, buddy. I'm Trey Dorn.
I'm Nick Izumi.
And I'm Gen Proc.
And remember, you can follow the show on social media at Nerd and Tie on Twitter, nerdandtie.tumblr.com, facebook.com/nerdandtie. Remember to subscribe to the podcast wherever good podcasts are distributed, on be it iTunes, the Google Play Store, Stitcher, other stuff. I think we're on Spotify now. I can't remember, but I think we are. Or anything that takes an RSS feed, and you can find that at nerdandtie.com. Remember, you can support the show financially by either sponsoring episodes of the show for $20. You can contribute to our legal fund at gofundme.com/nerdandtie, or you can contribute to us directly, personally. I have a Patreon at patreon.com/TRAEGORN. Nick's got a Patreon at patreon.com/NickIzumi. Gen has a Ko-fi at Ko-fi/Genjamin, as well as online stores, which can be found on Ocelot Dude Designs all over the internet. And, remember, in your heart, in your brain, in your mind, in your parental favor, whatever, just remember to do stuff. Be good to one another and be awesome. And Nick, now you say your catchphrase.
Keep on spacking in the free world. Be excellent to each other.
Indeed. And if you're nervous, sound the alarm. Or something.
Sound the alarm.
I don't know. This is going to be an exciting year. We're going to have, there's our
the
podcast.
New thing is coming along, and it's really cool.
New thing's coming along. And there's also
a reason we've slowed down this one.
Yes. And also, bsfreewitchcraft.trhonline.com is going to be considered a Nerd and Tie podcast pretty soon, once it's going to be folded in. So the podcast network's expanding, folks. We got new exciting projects. And, we like you, and thank you for showing up.
Have a good night, everybody.